Welcome to another edition of the ReviewFix.com podcast. This is Patrick Hickey Jr., editor-in-chief, founder and grand poobah of ReviewFix.com, joined by a super contributor, Juan De Jesus. What's up, Juan?
Hey, what's up, man? And can we still use that term, grand poobah? No, I think right now we're just placing ourselves at the outer edge of the nerd graph curve.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows what it is anymore. It's like, what? Is that like a move? Is that like a wrestling move? Does Dolph Ziggler do that? Like, what
the? It would be a pretty awesome wrestling move.
But and he hits the grand poobah for the 1, 2, 3! It's like a neck breaker, like with your leg wrapped around the guy's ass crack. It's like some wacky shit.
It's always fun until there's some ass crack.
Yes. Oh, man. So what's going on this week, man? A lot of new games, a lot of developments with games. What are you playing?
I'm playing GTA 5.
Oh, no.
That's what everyone else is playing.
Yeah.
In fact, when I start on my PlayStation, it asks me, do you want to skip boot screen and automatically load GTA 5?
Yes.
It then shows me my friends list, to which everyone is playing GTA 5. To which I go, I'm going to listen to the Beach Boys while riding around in a car really fast in the world of GTA 5. Because apparently I'm a middle-aged man in real life and in the video game.
Wouldn't it be nice if we were older? Boom, boom, fucking shooting people.
you know what's the beauty of that game? It's level satire. To which I don't think... regular media could really get away with it. I mean, we saw the failure that was Uwe Boll's Postal,
mm-hmm.
Because that level of satire just doesn't translate into regular media or anything else like that. And especially with. Nothing works better with that than going on a shooting rampage in the middle of the sandy shores.
Oh,
truly, man. Truly, you haven't lived till you've shot people to that song. But no, it, in all level seriousness, I think I'm about to go on a rampage right now, son. I really do enjoy it, not because I could... I can make it rain in a strip club and then shoot the stripper and then get all my money back and keep my pleasure. It's just because it tackles every single subject under the sun. Drug running, medical and legalized marijuana, torture. There's an infamous scene that's made it out where you actually take a censor stage role. That was horrible English. You take censor stage as the torturer in one of these scenes, and then, you know, you actually get to choose the way you're going to inflict your torture, to which a philanthropist is shot as a result of it, instead of actually a person who was supposed to be shot. But it just goes to show you that torture isn't a way to get information, because people will tell you anything. But news outlets aren't really looking at that, they're just looking at the fact that I could beat somebody's knee in with a wrench, which is actually pretty awesome.
Oh, my God. What is this torture scene like?
I mean, there's a guy, of course, he's from Azerbaijan, and he's stuck in a chair. He's duct taped. You got the prick CIA agent, and you got the coked-out meth head, Trevor, one of the main characters in the game, who's the least likable of the characters.
Uh-huh.
And you would expect to actually do something like this. But the prop, you know, and you could pick a jerry can that's full of gasoline, and you could take, you could waterboard them, you could hit them with a giant monkey wrench, you could pull their teeth out, you could shock their heart with a battery and alligator clips, you know, the classic torture scene that everyone knows.
Oh, my God.
But the fact of the matter is this, you could kill the person and not achieve anything, or you could do just enough, and then you help them escape. I'm going to be a little bit spoilerish on this, because it's important for people to see what happens after, is that he says, listen, I'm going to get you on a plane, and you're going to go, and you're going to be an advocate for survivors of torture. And he goes, why? He goes, because you gave me information that I knew was a lie, but you gave the guy what he wanted. It's not a good way to get information. You know, and the game is saying this, you know, after you just, like, beat this guy's head in with a wrench. You know, so it shows you the power of the medium. And, you know, that the game is pretty good on all accounts, you know. I mean, who doesn't like shooting with hookers?
The map is huge, too, right?
The map is ridiculously huge, and it actually leaked online pretty early. It's actually San Andreas with the new city of Los Santos. And I think it's actually a little bit bigger than Red Dead Redemption's map, because they have to go bigger.
It just sounds so crazy, you know? Like,
But it's crazy for the sake of allowing you to show the breadth of what exactly life has become. You basically go from one crazy stage to another and kind of falling through the channels, you know. They have this thing with a website called Life Invader, which is a stand-in for Facebook, and how that whole culture is like. And they have, you know, paparazzi missions where you have to go and capture photos of a British princess buying marijuana and so forth and so forth. You know, it's everything that's wrong with America in a game, and you get to participate in it, and you feel bad sometimes. She's like, hey, this lady just wants to buy her meth. Why you gotta kick her ex-boyfriend's face in? Why? Because he crossed you, that's why, and that's what that character will do. But, you know, it's vicarious living. People, you know, video games shouldn't influence how you do things in real life. Just saying, I ain't kicking anyone's face in, yet.
I want to play it really bad, but at the same time, I know that, like,
I'm 20 hours in, man.
My social
but
life.
I'm just doing side mission.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, away from Grand Theft Auto, are you playing anything else?
I used to be really big on a Payday Heist. I actually hit, like, level 55, but honestly, it eats your time.
Yeah.
It eats your time and your life.
It's like the reason why I stopped playing Diablo, you know? I was the same way with Diablo 3. I was obsessed with it. Like, I was playing Diablo 3, like, on the bus on the way home. Like, hijacking, like, Optimum Online, like, you know, Wi-Fi. Because I was so obsessed. And then I was like, you know what? I have a master's degree.
I gotta do something with it. It's not just a piece of paper to decorate the wall.
Oh, my God. It's like, I have to stop, man.
But, you know, what have you been playing? I heard you got your hands on a little something-something.
Oh, my game, my yearly game, like, the one game. Well, I mean, I review games all year, and I play stuff all year, but, like, the one game that, like, I go back to, like, consistently is the NHL series, and played NHL 14 for a bit now, and I have to say, the AI is so much better. It's a defensive-minded game at first, but once you start to, like, really play the game the way hockey is meant to be played, that's when you enjoy it the most.
And what is it about? Is the skating any different?
The skating animations are much better. The skill stick, like the shooting, is much better. There's one-touch dekes. So, like, if a guy is coming close to you, instead of, like, fidgeting around with the analog and to try and deke him out, you can just tap it in a direction and they'll, like, kind of, like, toe drag or, like, whatever you want into that direction. It's much more seamless than previous years. Also, the hit stick is much better. The way you hit players is much better. The fighting system is much improved. It's just a much better hockey game. And I don't want to say finally, because the NHL series has been really good for a really long time now, but I would say it's probably the best NHL game on the 360 and PS3.
Do you think that the system has evolved to a point where did they do this to break away from the rut of just upping the graphics, or do you think they're doing this for the sake of pushing the series in a more active direction? Because I know you could still sit there and simulate almost half a season,
mm-hmm.
and when you get there, the games could be incredibly tough. But do you think this is a step in the right direction, or do you think
I think the NHL series has been moving in the right direction for quite some time, and I think they made a very smart decision not pushing next gen right away. So this game has all the bells and whistles and extra additions that you would expect. Like, it's a much better game than last year and much better than 2012 and 2013. But it also, all of these changes make it, it positions the game in a way where gameplay-wise, the game, the series is super solid, and the only thing that they could do next-gen is really just redo the, you know, the graphics. With the Ignite engine, EA's Ignite engine, the game is going to look great. I think it's the most sound, next to FIFA, gameplay-wise, NHL is the best game that they have. So, it's like FIFA, then NHL, then Madden, then NCAA football, and then the NBA Live Series. So,
do you ever think they're going to get that lawsuit figured out for NCAA football?
Yeah, I think they're going to get it figured out. They lost the NCAA license, but that's not going to stop them from making games. You know what? That's, and honestly, it's not EA's fault. It's really not EA's fault. It's these colleges
that... Well, there was no precedent for it.
Yeah, and these colleges love to take advantage of their students and take their money, basically, and take the money that they've earned and stuff. So, I mean, it's really not EA's problem when you think about it. Are they going to have to pay money and stuff? Probably, but at the end of the day, I mean, they're just putting out a video game. So, I will say, since we're on the topic of EA, I am really surprised how good NBA Live 14 looks. I'm, like, super surprised.
Do you think now with the refinements to FIFA and NHL, do you think they've gotten the confidence? And we've spoken about this on the podcast before.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they've gotten the confidence to say, we have to make a full-fledged entry into our sports program and just get the entire, you know, the entire sports franchise up and running again, you know, NBA and
I think the MLB. I think the biggest thing, I don't know if we're going to see an MLB game for quite some time. I think Sony has such a stranglehold on Major League Baseball that no other company right now can even come close, so they're not even trying. MLB 2K13 was an absolute disaster. It was just a updated, you know, roster. Like, for 2K to even try and sell that for $60 is a joke. EA doesn't have the license for baseball, so they're working on the other stuff. As far as basketball goes, they knew that if they released a game last year or the year before that or the year before that, that it was going to be crap. You know? So they really, like, took a step back. And speaking of FIFA, I'm not sure if you know this, but, like, NHL 14 and NBA Live 14 use physics engines based off of FIFA. So they're using technology that the FIFA developers created for their game, and they're modifying it and using it in their game. So essentially, the same physics engine that's used to power the ball in FIFA is the new dribbling physics engine for NBA Live 14. It's insane. Like, for the longest time, if you've watched an NBA basketball game, video game, in instant replay, it looks like the ball is bouncing on thin air. The ball's not spinning, it's just like kind of floating and bouncing, kind of like a basketball, but not really. The physics engine that they have this year is sick. Like, the ball actually spins. There's 50 different signature dribbling styles in the game. They put a lot of spit and polish on this game. Does it stack up to 2K14? Highly doubtful, but it's a step in the right direction, and maybe in 2 or 3 years we can see a really big competition in basketball video games.
All right. Well, you know, going from video games over into stuff that, you know, is more of the I'll sit on my couch and watch it. I heard you watched a good movie, Billy.
Ugh. I saw this film. It's called Zero Charisma. It's basically...
basically the story of my life.
Well, I think of every nerd's life, you know? So, it's a... it's a movie that if I could sum it up in a sentence or so. It's directed by Katy Graham and Andrew Matthews, and it stars Sam Idison. It's basically about a really fat guy that's a nerd and that's a dungeon master of, like, a local D&D game that ends up, like, losing control of his game to, like, a cool video game, like, entertainment writer. And if you've ever played Dungeons & Dragons before, you know what a DM or a GM looks like, and this guy looks perfect. He's absolutely hilarious. I've never heard of the actor before this movie. I never heard of the directors and stuff, and I got recommended to watch this, and it's a really funny movie. Like I said, it's like Clerks, you know, like the classic Kevin Smith movie meets, like, Dungeons & Dragons. It's got a great soundtrack. It's got, like, Therion and, like, a bunch of, like, metalcore bands. It's, like, it's got a little bit of everything. It's got good-looking women in it, funny guys. It's really good stuff.
And, you know, is it just, you know, familiarity with the subject? Or if you come at this never having played D&D, are you going to get it?
I think if you don't have a passing fancy for D&D, it won't be as funny. But I think if you're interested enough to watch the movie, you'll see, like, how these games are conducted. And it's a very, like, the whole tale relies on, like, the personality or lack of personality of the characters. So as long as you're into, like, great conversation between characters and just mind games and just really intriguing personalities, I think you'll enjoy it.
Well, you know, I always knew that there was never a trap there, but you kept setting it off when you saw me getting to... Fuck you, Steve. Yo, for real, I still get mad at that shit.
Oh, you're man.
Like, no, you didn't plan that. That's not fair. No, I'm the dungeon master. I can say what I want. This is the rules.
There's a huge, like, one of the biggest scenes in the film revolves around something like that. Like, the cool guy tries to, like, change the game and, like, overtake the DM, like, during the game, and the DM, like, kind of cheats. Oh, my God, it's ridiculous. Like, if you grew up playing Dungeons & Dragons, this is a must-see. And if you've ever made fun of people for playing Dungeons & Dragons, it's still a movie to see. Especially if you've made fun of people.
You know who used to play Dungeons & Dragons and now is a badass?
Who?
Vin Diesel.
Get out of here.
Mark Vincent.
Oh, huge nerd. God.
You know, so much so that I think he would make a great Vision, but instead he's Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh my God, with his deep-ass voice.
Hey, he's a perfect Groot right there. He's got like three lines to say. Groot, bad, go. That's it. It's basically just him in Fast and the Furious.
Oh, man.
No, but did you hear about Sony's new program?
I've heard a little bit about it. I think it's really cool. I think you could do a much better job explaining it than I could, so let's hear it, man.
Well, Sony's new program allows you to buy a last-gen version of the game. Let's say Watch Dogs, GTA, or let's say even Call of Duty Ghosts. You buy it for the PS3, you finally get your hands on a PS4. For a small fee, it really does depend on the game, but usually anywhere from $10 to $30, depending on, you know, if it's AAA or so forth, you could go ahead and you're given a code to access the current-gen or next-gen version of it, which would be the PS4 version. And I'm assuming Xbox One is going to have a program like this. If not, they need to get to work on it. I don't know what's going on.
I think Sony has got, like, the step ahead, you know, right now.
What's up?
I think Sony's been, like, a step ahead this entire, like, development, this console cycle. I think they've, like, kind of set the trends, and Microsoft is, like, kind of catching up.
Well, you know what I think it is? They fell so far behind on the PS3 that they really did get caught with their pants down. You know, everyone remembers that just $600 American, you know, it gets you, because the $600, I paid it. I'm not going to lie, I paid for it. I had a fat PS3 at launch, and I have a slim PS3 because my fat PS3 stopped working after 6 years.
Oh.
You know, so they have 900 of my American dollars, just saying. But late in PlayStation 3's product life, you've had a lot of extremely good exclusives. Infamous 2, The Last of Us, the Uncharted series, just to name a few, from Sony-led studios that they got on that highway before everyone else did, which is, if you're going to move to digital, the way you control the market is by controlling the publishing houses.
Absolutely.
And that's what Sony did. They bought Naughty Dog, you know, they bought all these other small developers, right, and they brought them under the Sony umbrella, and now they go, oh, we're going to buy Gaikai because people only want to play digital distribution games, so we'll let them access the PS1 and PS2 games again for a fee. It's not free. You know, let's get that out there. There is some money being exchanged there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, you could play Resident Evil 1 to 3, you know, PlayStation 1, PlayStation 2, games through Gaikai. Sony knows what it's doing, and they got out ahead. I'm pretty sure they had a DRM policy that was similar to Microsoft, but once they saw the backlash, there was no way. There was no way they were, you know, that they were going to do the same thing, because it just would have been the death of it. I would have bought a Steam box that Valve is announcing.
Mm-hmm. They're announcing several machines too. It's not just one. It's pretty crazy.
But that's what Valve gets right and it gets wrong. You know, Valve and to a level on Live when it was around, they want to be everything to everyone you can. There are people that like Xboxes. There are people that like Wii's. There are people that like PlayStations. Right? They like the control. They like the interface. You know, everyone hated the Xbox 360 Blades. I don't care who you are. I've never heard anyone said that the Blade interface was good. And now with the Windows 8 Metro interface, Xbox One is like, oh my god, I wish I had Blades. No, you don't. You know, it's like the PlayStation 3 and their XMB bar that, you know, Xbox 360 guys just couldn't navigate. Hell, I can't navigate the goddamn thing, and I've had it for 7 years. You know? But I'm just saying is, you can't be everything to everyone, but you can provide a service for everyone. I think that's what Sony's doing right. And this program is a step in the right direction.
All right, man. So I hate to cut us short this week, but...
I'm not short. I don't know who said that. Was that my ex-girl?
That bitch.
I'm a size 10. No, I'm a shoe.
That's what she said.
I wish that's what she said.
So, for Patrick Hickey Jr., that's who you just heard, the size 10, was Juan de Jesus.
Again, in my pants. I got lightning in my pants.
Super contributor for ReviewFix.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
We should really have Caesar on one show and see how awkward that would be. It's like twice as awkward.